This week on RSBNB Update, it's D&D&D week, but the D's depend on your disposition. We run through the Trojan Horde, showcasing how important it is. Plus, we also detail next week's divination update. Will it devalue your divine energy? Then, Double XP Live arrives Monday. This is RSBNB Update, episode 827, recorded Thursday, April 29th, 2021. Divination and Evaluation and Double XP Live. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSBNB Update. Just Hannes and myself in this week. Bit of a quiet week, but I think it's the calm before the storm.
You know... Are there stormy waters ahead?
Well, I realize we say that. And last time something storm-related cropped up, it was the login lockout. But I'm just thinking of what kind of chaos can ensue with 20 days of double XP where you can space out 48 hours over that time rather than 10. And
I think the storm will be here in our achievement section.
Yeah. And I think we definitely want to have 3+ people on the show each of the following weeks, don't we?
For sure. Yeah. The more the merrier. We want to spread the love.
Yeah. But nonetheless, of course, this week we got updates to talk about, announcements to talk about, and a couple of other little things here and there. But nonetheless, if you want to follow us along, you can check out the full show notes at update.rsbnb.com. We have there a help wanted form as well. You can fill out if you want to guest on the show or write articles for us. And of course, we're in friends chat Bits Bytes. I am Shane12088 in game, and he is Tannis79. So it's dailies and distractions and diversions week here, D&D&D week.
Yep.
Part of awesome April. Mm-hmm.
And also, alliteration spring?
Yeah.
I guess that isn't the same.
Yeah. Do we want to talk about what's in front of us first or what's not in front of us at this time?
I was just going to ask you, do you know what's better than double Ds?
Three Ds.
Triple Ds, that's correct.
That's what we got this week.
Right.
And... I feel as though this coming off of combat week is the equivalent of air being let out of a balloon.
I mean, you say that, but where can you, so when you're trying to plan this out, right, and you know that, okay, one of these weeks we want to dedicate to distractions and diversions and
dailies.
And dailies. No matter where you put it, aren't you going to feel that way? Like, I don't know if it could, like, wherever it was.
I maybe would have started with have this same one. Height.
Could have been, I mean, that may have been a good choice. But at the same time, you want to get it up and running and you want to get some excitement.
Yeah, and skilling week was good to do that. I think combat week was appreciated by everybody. I'll talk about that later. But what in terms of what we have with this, you got a player-owned ports boost, an extra 10 voyages a day for 25 total, 30% more resources or trade goods. And with that as well, the Barmaid Special Voyage will be available throughout the weekend as well on Thursday this week. And, you know...
Well, but think about that, Shane. Hold on.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking just about this little, you know, just a little ports.
About ports?
Yeah, just a little ports part of this. And I'm like, you know, now I'm, you know, Big Max player, whatever. I don't think about ports as much. I have everything that, you know, I want from there.
Yes.
But ports is really important in those mid.
Yeah, in the 70 to 90 range.
Right, like ports,
because
like,
you can go there as soon as you get that voyages, first 90 skill.
Yeah, it's actually, I mean, it actually is pretty good.
Yeah, and I mean, we far too often hear at this show, and I think this is due to our own perspectives here, but far too often we look at this through the lens of what we're doing today. But in reality, like you say, and I was so fortunate to have one of our listeners bring this up to me and had a good discussion with him about 10 days ago on this. And I think he's going to come on the show at some point in the future as well on a Ninja Strike themed week, just to kind of spread our wings a bit with this. But in general, you have to look at what you get from ports. It unlocks level 85 tank armor. It also unlocks level 85 weapons that you can make with skilling that you don't need to go out there and kill any bosses with. And for me, for the longest time, these were the staples of my Slayer equipment.
Yeah, they're decent.
They're very good.
And you throw some Slayer perks on them, and you're good to go for a while.
Yeah.
And not just Slayer. I mean, yeah, I know power armor's the thing, but this is what I wore bossing for a long time because I am interested in survivability, right? And there was nothing wrong with the good old ports armor, you know? I don't know if it just holds a special place, but you get the weapons. I mean, I can remember a time when if you were, really into it, you were making Death Lotus darts on your offhand.
And those are still very good to disassemble as well.
Right.
For components if you're higher leveled. And, even if you are still higher leveled, the trade goods are still good because you can trade them around inside ports from the trader for other things that might be more interesting. And, some of the best foods in the game, rocktail soup, sailfish soup, you need the spices from ports as well with that.
And
so
Scrimshaw.
Scrimshaws as well that you can sell.
There's not a skill. I don't want to say that because I'm sure there is a skill, but there aren't too many skills that you can't enhance with Scrimshaw.
Right. I know the woodcutting one is really important for Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
So, you have to look at this one, I guess, on the macro view compared to the micro view as you did with the last two. As these are, enhancing your play experience over the entire week and over the entire month, perhaps, as well, in terms of what you're able to achieve with it. So let's just keep that in mind as we go on. So thank you so much for bringing that up. And we hear you guys out there on this, and this is a very important ports update. Double daily Vizwax.
Oh, man, that's a good one. How you like that, Iron Man? Hey?
Actually available to Iron Man accounts.
Yeah, well, and that's a really remember that came up in discussion about what Iron Man kind of were losing out on
right
during the lockout.
And this is a daily.
So
thing.
To double that, that's good. That's cool.
Yeah. Free daily challenge extensions.
Nice.
Yeah.
Save you a little bit of wax right there.
Yeah. I've actually been doing dungeoneering ones this week with this.
You're not 120 yet, Shane?
What kind of question is that?
No, for real? Thought you were 120.
No, okay. I'm just closing in on 115.
Okay.
Yeah. I hate the skill.
We'll do your challenges then.
And with that, you also get extra D&D rewards and tickets this week, which means you can fight Bork twice a day, enter the Phoenix Lair twice a day, explore sinkholes three times a day, and there's a little interesting gotcha with this. If you use a D&D token with this, this means you can do six sinkholes a day.
Oh, man. Why aren't you doing sinkholes all day, Shane?
I have been, except for yesterday when I forgot, but... But I have been. Yeah. It's to a point where you're not going to be able to get it done in one sinkhole session. You're going to have to spread it out through the entire day with this. Or no, maybe it's only five. I think it's five because the other one only resets to two. So, but still.
But that's really good.
Five sinkholes a day.
Yeah, that's really good.
And I was surprised that it wasn't four. I just kept going on that. You play the big chinchampa three times a day. Fish flingers, three tickets per day up to a cap of 10. Three evil trees a day. And plus the daily Guthixian cash cap is now 300 for those who train divination that way.
Oh, those who train divination. Huh. Those who train divination.
Yeah, and it's important to note that these ones that we just went over are not available to Iron Man.
Okay. Sorry, guys. Not for you.
Now available to Iron Man for the player on farm, you'll get double beans, increased animal sales caps, healthy animals cannot become diseased, animals will consume half as much food, double produce for each animal, and trappers awards double the animals. Adamantite the Trapper.
That's pretty good.
And as well, double shop stock for all items that are usually restocked at midnight. This includes feathers and feather packs from all fishing shops, water jug packs, yak hides and yak hide packs, broad arrows and broad arrow heads, as well as unfinished broad bolts and slayer gem packs.
What?
Plant pot packs from all farm shops, all runes from rune shops, Urzile, Agoon, Argway, Shango, and Samadin seeds from Papa Mambo's shop. See, and this is another thing I should have been stocking up on. Those ones.
This is smart.
You want to stock up on those. And raw rabbit, raw beef, raw bird meat, and the associated packs for those from the Ooglog shop. And all stock from the Anachronia gem shop.
See, you know, we come in here and we're like, we're not really all that excited. But there's really actually a lot of to be excited about. I don't get it. But think about it. Like, this is actually really smart to have a week before double XP and you can get more yak hides, you can get more broadheads, you can get more, like, all of this stuff that...
Yeah, and there's a reason why Double XP starts on Monday with this, rather than waiting until mid-May. Mm-hmm. So, and I mean, I just don't think it's as... I still don't think it's as flashy as Combat Week, but we've just outlined the case for why you're going to want to go and, you know, take part in these things if you don't normally do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So... I think we've made the case for it. Personally, I just feel it's less flashy. The things that stand out to me, of course, are the herb seeds, the meat, because I'm still working on the dinosaur log. The player-owned farm stuff is great. Port stuff, I think, is a highlight mm-hmm. if you are working to finish off your port or you're just getting started. And, of course, for people who are dungeoneering averse like this, this is also good for us as well. So... overall, I think it's a pretty good offering that we have available with this, but it's just not necessarily as flashy with that. And speaking of flashy, Tier 1 of the RuneScape Mobile pre-registration has been achieved. We don't exactly know what the marker for that is, but we do know that enough pre-registrations were made to hit Tier 1, so that means that come June, once mobile releases, or come the summer, rather, once mobile releases, we'll be getting the soft punk hairstyle.
All right.
So, keep going, folks, keep going, and we'll, of course, have links in the show notes to pre-register on this to both the iOS and Android store. Now, if you're already playing the Android beta, you don't need to worry about that. You already count as being pre-registered, but tell your friends, tell people who might have been away for a while, and get them to come back to this game. Because, you know, I think we are in a RuneScape golden age, aren't we? At least I feel that way. That might be a topic for broader discussion at some point.
No, I think there's a lot of things to be positive about and look forward to. Mobile has been amazing. I've been so lucky to be in the beta, and I can't wait for everybody to be a part of that. But just where the game is at, and just I don't know. It things feel like they've really come together, and I can't get over the fact that this is a 20-year-old game that's starting to really find its stride. I mean, yeah. That just doesn't happen, but it's happening.
Yeah.
Like right now.
And, you know, it's come so far, and we'll, of course, talk about that once mobile launches, because we have, you know, such a perspective on this that I don't know that anybody else has this perspective out there. I can think of maybe a couple people that do, but it's just such a rich experience, and I am overjoyed to be able to talk about this each and every week, and, you know, so much we do here is credit to the Patreon supporters, and I'm not going to do the Patreon ad right now, but you guys also have lots of fun stuff coming with the mobile launch as well, so more on that later. But in any case, let's move on to the patch notes this week, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
Rex Matriarchs, did you go give Rathus a try?
No.
All right, fair enough. Because, you know, we had a discussion on combat this past weekend, but we'll save that for the what have we been doing section, because that was a fun little exercise. But affinity has been adjusted on the Matriarchs, increasing their base chance to be struck in combat. And now you guys are probably thinking, what the heck does this mean? So the way combat works and has worked since the evolution of combat is that your hit chance is modified by the affinity of the creature that you are fighting. You can think of affinity as the base hit chance. Then it's modified. Then the hit chance is derived based on the accuracy of your weapon and your character, combined with the defense of what you're fighting. So affinity is a multiplier on top of that. And looking at affinity, we're not going to go too much into exactly what it means, but in general, for most NPCs out there, an NPC will have an affinity of 90 against their explicit weakness. So if something is weak to fire spells, it will have an affinity of 90 to that. Meanwhile, it'll have an affinity of 65 against their weaknesses style. So something that has a specific weakness of fire spells has an affinity of 90 to fire, but an affinity of 65 to magic. And then it goes on down there based on what they're neutral to, so 55 for whatever they're neutral to, and then 45 to whatever they're strong against. So splitting this out in my fire spell idea I was just going on here, that'd be 90 for fire spells, 65 for other magic spells, 55 for melee-based attacks, and 45 for ranged-based attacks. But this entirely changes when you look at bosses, because as we talked about last week with the Matriarchs, if you try and go fight Rathus with, say, magic, you're going to have a bad time, because it is very strong to magic. And you really want to be using melee and what that creature and what that dinosaur is weak to. So, for in the case of Rathus, you want to use a stab-based weapon like a spear. So what this means for hit chance is that you take the affinity and then it's multiplied by the accuracy divided by the defense values. And this is how you calculate hit chance in RuneScape. It's a fairly simple calculation, and Mod Orion put out a tweet in terms of how the affinities have changed on this. And as a result, I put together a bit of a spreadsheet on this showing just how hit chances would change. So based on how I was fighting Rathus with Turmoil active, and let's just assume a base of, you know, Turmoil also lowers the defense of whatever you're fighting. So factoring that in and the accuracy of my Masterwork Spear, previously I would have an accuracy of 129% using that spear. But with the changes this week, assuming I just flicked Turmoil on and I was starting off, my hit chance was buffed to 141%. Now, if I was using a slash-based weapon or a crush-based weapon against Rathus, previously I would have had 103% crit chance or hit chance, and that has been buffed to 110% this week. So, in general, if you are using weapons that are relatively high-leveled, 90+. You have stats that are 90+. You're using overloads. You're using prayers. This buff change really doesn't mean much to you. But where things get really interesting, and there's one case that I specifically highlighted for this, and that's if you were, say, level 90 attack and using a chaotic spear. Because, you know, everybody gets those weapons from Dungeoneering. You can get them now from Treasure Hunter. So you take someone with level 90 attack, give them a chaotic spear, a super attack potion, because we're assuming that maybe they are a new player and they haven't got extremes or they don't have overloads yet, and they're using piety because they don't have curses. This stage, someone with 90 attack and a chaotic spear, is where these changes would really start to show. Previously, with that chaotic spear, you'd have a 92% hit chance. But with these changes this week, it brings it up to 101% hit chance, meaning you'll always be hitting the creature. Whereas if you're using at that same attack level with those same potions, if you're using, say, a chaotic sword, you would have a 73% hit chance previously and a 78% hit chance with these buffs. So what they have done with making these changes is they've made these bosses easier to get into if you're leveling up. Tannis, do you have any questions on this little mini math lesson?
No, I don't do math.
All right, fair enough. In general, it's a 9.7% hit chance increase if you're using what the creature is weak to, so spear, arrows, or fire for each of the matriarchs, and a 6.7% increased hit chance for the other styles of that combat type.
Well, I think it's always good when you're lowering the threshold to get people into the boss.
Yeah.
Just as long as it's not to the point where they get in there and they're just going to get ate up, regardless, because...
Yeah, not fun. And on that, I actually messed around with some numbers a bit. I wanted to see what would happen if somebody was level 80 attack and brought in a Zamorak spear or Zamorak godsword and used the super attacks. Previously, you'd have a 77% hit chance with the spear. That goes up to 84% this week. Or a 62% hit chance with the godsword. It goes up to 65% this week. So even with tier 75 weapons and level 80 attack, you're still going to be missing 1 in 5 chances this week if you brought in the tier 75 spear with this. So what I'm really questioning as a result of this is this the definition of entry-level bossing? To the point where to really be effective on this, you need basically level 90 attack and tier 80 plus weaponry. If you don't want to be missing.
Yeah, I mean, but if you say that, though, does that mean that the other, like, that God Wars isn't?
It would mean that, and see, that's the thing. We were told that this was entry-level PVM, so based on this, I would say that God Wars 1 and the Barrows is probably your entry-level PVM experience.
That's what I would have.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I would have.
And we were told that, you know, this was entry level. So I think this is really in between God Wars 1 and God Wars 2. It probably doesn't even touch God Wars 2. So it's right in between those two, I'd say, in terms of difficulty. The sweet spot, if you're leveling up at this point, turns out to be level 90 attack with the tier 85 spear from Siriu and overload potions. That turns out to be the sweet spot.
And that, I mean, that's all, like, reasonable.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. But if you wanted to, you know, just go bare minimum, level 90 attack and chaotix based on this. And overall, based on these changes that were made, I think it was a good idea to make these changes. Because putting it in this spreadsheet here really exemplifies what they're going after in terms of who this bossing encounter is designed at, or designed for, rather.
Mm-hmm.
So, it makes me appreciate the content even more on that note, I feel. Because it feels now that there's a clear progression between God Wars 1 and God Wars 2. And then after that, QBD, and then up the ladder you go, right? So I think these changes this week were definitely needed, and they make total sense, at least from my perspective in terms of what I've looked at.
Yeah. No, I mean, they make sense. I haven't really experienced this boss yet. Given where it's at, I don't think I would have any trouble.
I mean,
I'm fairly certain with enough time in a spotter, eventually I could probably get through that spider.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. More on that later. All right. Projectile speeds have been adjusted so that damage should better line up with the projectile hitting the player. For those who want a prayer flick. Mm-hmm. Removing the frostbite debuff via pyroclastic shock will now immediately reset your global cooldown. I don't know what that is. I don't know what pyroclastic shock is. Oh, that's the name of the Aurakalka's attack, and makes sense because I haven't actually fought that one. Slayer XP has been increased. Combat XP has been reduced. They were giving too much combat XP last week and not enough Slayer XP. Shards can now be combined into hearts, and rare drops from the matriarchs will now consistently trigger a broadcast. And last week they also hotfixed it so that the entrance area can no longer be used as a safe spot, and this also resolves instances of low XP and or no drops. And the damage value on Lanikea's spear was not its tier 90 damage value. So once again, another, we talked about last week, Lanikea's spear, that's a good Slayer weapon and good step up to the side. All right. Other improvements this week. The Wealth Evaluator is now available for all players. Free to use.
It seems like we hear this. Like, it doesn't feel like that's the first time we've heard this, right? Was it just me?
No. You didn't need to pay bonds for it previously.
I know, but I thought it was released to us before, but... Huh. Alright. Maybe it was just, like, announced that it was going to be free.
Yeah, that was last week they announced it would be free.
Okay.
You can also purchase Challenge Gems, Clan Citadel Booster Packs, and Chameleon Extract with Rune Coins. Previously, you weren't able to do that.
Clan Citadel Booster Pack? What is that?
I believe it boosts your progress or allows you to do more skilling at the Clan Citadel. Yeah, it doubles the rate at which you gain resources and experience. And you can actually use them on other players as well.
Interesting.
And the Chameleon Extract allows you to change the color of your skin to whatever you want. Fun exercise for people who might do green screens with that. And as for the challenge gems, allows you to effectively challenge other players with that, I believe. Skilling competitions, combat competitions. These are effectively mini skill of the months and whatnot that, you know, take a short amount of time in terms of what kind of XP you get. You choose the time anywhere between 5 and 30 minutes, and it will allow you to effectively count how much XP you get between friends in that time.
That's cool.
Yeah. I've never really seen much use for them, but I'm sure there's a segment of the population that uses them. And the music boxes are now available to all players from Diango's item storage, including the Mauritanian music box, the Caridian music box, the Masterwork music box, and the Achievement Banner.
Yay. I always love these music boxes. I thought they were so cool.
Yeah, they were a fun little thing when RS3 came out to really showcase what the new game was able to do in terms of the stereo audio quality that they were able to put out. So they were something that I know we enjoyed covering way back when. And finally, speaking of music, the music track and echo throughout time will now correctly unlock during Desperate Measures. And if you were affected by the bug blocking the unlock through your playthrough, speak to Saren in the council chambers to unlock the track. And there we have it. That's the patch notes for the week. And then came Divination.
Bum, 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 bum.
But there was also a live stream this week that introduced this. And this is what I was asking you, if you wanted to talk about what we had or what we didn't have. We were supposed to get wishes this week. But the wishes are not quite ready. There's no confirmed date for them as of yet. And they're just taking a little bit of extra development time to bring into the game.
Man, I wish I had a wish.
I know how you feel about the wishes from our discussion in weeks past. And I mean, I'd imagine there's probably a segment of the players out there who telegraphed this to Jagex, something similar in that. So maybe we'll be impressed after the fact on this.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see.
And we were also supposed to get the next chapter in the Elder God Wars, but that's also not quite ready yet. They say the next update to the Elder God Wars will bring momentum to it and carry it through the year.
Yeah. And, you know, we always say, take your time, release when you're ready.
Get it right.
Get it right. So, you know, and especially with this, right? Because they're wrapping up this sixth stage, and we don't want a Game of Thrones situation. Did he say it? He did.
Oh my God!
We don't want one of those situations on our hands.
I don't think RuneScape needs to go that direction.
I hope not.
I hope not as well. But then came Divination, didn't it?
Then came Divination.
How do you feel about this skill? Let's just get this on the table here before we dive into this. How do you personally feel about Divination?
The way I personally feel is Divination is one of the few well-balanced skills right now.
Okay.
Let me tell you why. It's not that it's balanced when it comes to the gathering. Gathering is for money making. And we've talked about the three legs of the stool. You want there's a slow XP, high GP, that's your air fishing, your gathering. Divination experience has always sucked that way. It's never been good. So the only real way to train that skill is through the caches. Or the memorial,
Hall of Memories.
Hall of Memories. And that's where you get your XP. One is, you know,
two ticking.
Probably yes. one is active. One is super active.
Yeah.
And so for that reason, I feel like when it comes to its methods and the way that you train it, it's okay. I mean, yeah, if you're trying to gain XP through gathering,
that's going to take a while.
Yeah, I mean, it's just not worth it. It's just not how that works. And I don't know if nominal changes to that will make a difference.
All right, I think we're on the same page, because I personally feel what we saw here, and we'll have to wait and see if this changes next week. I don't know that this is going to tick all the boxes in terms of what needs to be done with it. So let's dive into some notes of what they wanted to do with this first off, because I think we just need to, you know, have a complete understanding here of everything that's going on and what the motivations are behind it, because if you don't, then you're going to see this in a different perspective. And I'm not saying you're doing that, but in general, it's something that RuneScape players do. So.
No one ever does that, Shane.
Right? Right? No. Yeah.
We totally embrace change.
Change we can believe in.
And we never, never jump to conclusions.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough. Okay. So, Mod Osborne, Mod Shogun, on this live stream with Mod Hooli hosting. Would you believe it that a good chunk of the population out there who plays RS has level 1 divination? And the other milestone where people cluster in the skill is level 80.
Good. Good. Stay the hell out of my money. Good. I want everyone in here.
And, you know, the reason for that is at level 1, people can assume that, oh, we might not know what to do with this skill. But at level 80, you know, brilliant wisps. And beyond that, you know, what really is there to do in the skill aside from, you know, leveling it up and unlocking the different porters and whatnot that are around? So, the analysis that Jagex has pulled from this is that there's nothing worth training aside from charges, signs, and porters, which on the flip side also implies that the skill is not fun to train.
So, but divination's different than, well, okay. Okay, I mean, I guess I can see where they're coming from, because it, in all reality, caches and Hall of Memories were things that were tagged onto it to try to make it better, because they knew how bad the experience training was.
Yeah, yeah. And this was also a skill that came out 8 years ago almost, August of 2013. It was supposed to, you know, be on the heels of the Six Age starting World Event 1. And then, following that, with 6 months after, we were supposed to get Invention, which, of course, never materialized until 2016, almost 3 years later.
Right.
So Divination just sat on its own until then. And their goal is to, you know, effectively revamp Divination, address core divination, and they've wanted to do this for about the last 3 years or so. It's just not something that they really told players. And, you know, Mod Osborne has said that on numerous times before, that if there's a skill he could rework, it would be divination. And this, one thing we need to be clear on is that this update is not the end for divination. Because we get this, it doesn't mean that there can't be more added to the top later, a different training method added. Not at all. That was another thing that came out of the live stream with this. And the goal of what they want Divination to feel like, they want it to feel like it's a skill that should be able to be done on the second screen. But currently it doesn't fit the mold of either low-intensity AFK training or high-intensity training in terms of its main training method. Sure, we can talk about caches being one-off. We can talk about the Hall of Memories being its own thing. But at the end of the day, it's kind of in the middle. And they want to effectively create reasons for active play, but also make it more AFKable.
So, are we talking about holding the Wisp in place longer?
We're going to get right there in just a moment.
Okay.
Before we talk a little bit about, before we talk about exactly what it's going to be, to completely rework a skill like Divination in the mining and smithing sense, your heart is going to be broken. But they see it as not feasible. And going forward, skill reworks, they say, need to be more tactical. Or if they were to do it in the mining and smithing sense, archaeology would be 20 years old by the time everything is said and done. I know, that breaks your heart, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, because I think that one was just so good.
Yeah.
Now, I get not being able to give divination that treatment. One, doesn't need that treatment. Two, there's probably a lot of lore implications and tie-ins that you're going to have to be careful of. It's the only skill that is like a dead god's memory, you know, that kind of thing. Man.
Instead, the
you
idea
know what that means.
Is going to be to look at remastery mode.
That means we're screwed in construction, like our... I mean, that's...
Yeah, and construction did come up on the live stream, and he said for construction, the best option that they have right now is to rip it all out and start over.
I'm down. I mean,
and
okay.
And that's why they did contracts. But in any case, the goal is to approach divination from a remastery type mode and to provide benefits to those players who want to play the skills socially, but also make it for those who want to just, you know, be solo and AFK that you'll have a good experience as well. So let's look at some of the things that's going to be happening with this. So, starting off, three core objectives. Reposition divination as an AFK-friendly skill. Add more interesting aspects to the core loop and refine some of the skills' rewards. Now, the first changes that have been made to make it an AFK-friendly skill are that wisps will now stay within 5 tiles of the crater at all times, memory springs will now last for at least 60 seconds, and chronicle fragments now spawn next to you and will not move. And they also say that if you play on mobile, these changes make it so that the skill is even more fun to play on a touchscreen.
Well, I mean, that's probably true. I mean, that even though that I like the clustering of the wisp being 5 spots like that on an accessibility level, I don't know if it works on a gameplay level.
Right, and they demoed this on stream, and the incandescent site looks barren when they do it this way.
Yeah, I mean, I think holding the wisp and turning this into more of a legit air fishing skill, that's probably a good choice.
It helps.
Yeah,
I agree.
Mean that helps.
And the 60 seconds base is also good because we know how that's going to perform later on. And chronicle fragments as well, not having to chase those down is good as well. Now the only thing you'll be chasing down are your Saren spirits.
Yeah, if you know, not all that. All that means with the chronicle fragments is that people actually will turn them in, you know, and actually do them.
And there's actually something on that too, and we'll get there. So core loop-wise, that they wanted to enhance that as well. There's a new buff called Memory Overflow, which occurs when you and a few other players contribute enough chronicle fragments to an energy rift. And when the energy rift overflows, the buff will be activated and you'll gain the following effects. 1, extra base energy from deposited memories, 5% more XP from deposited memories, and 10% higher crit chance when siphoning from nearby springs, and of course that means more enriched memories, and it will spawn an enriched wisp, which boosts your crit rating by 100%. This mechanic replaces enriched wisps spawning every 20 minutes, so those enriched wisps are going to be spawning a lot more now than they do previously, compared to 3 times an hour.
But only on certain worlds, and in certain places. Check difference chats. because that's basically a Hall of Memories kind of
theme. And that's what they wanted mechanic. To do with that. And they also mentioned that there's a world out there already for divination training, so that might see some use as well. And the whole point of this is to make Chronicles useful and make them more simpler as well in terms of them spawning and grabbing the Chronicles. And if you grab it within 6 seconds of it appearing, it will give you an enriched Chronicle that's worth 1.5 times the XP. And enriched Chronicles will contribute even more progress towards overloading energy rifts. And you can also, of course, still take your Chronicles back to Mei if you want. But now you can just dump them back in the pool.
Yeah,
I think
that's that's a nice mechanic.
Yeah.
It's good.
And,
but, 5% of poop is still 5% poop, right?
Yeah, and that's why I want to, do some comparing and contrasting next week with this when we get our hands on it and effectively compare where we're at today, where the Hall of Memories is at, and where this is going to be at next week. And that's what we're going to do with that next week. It's going to be
because
the
I like where they're,
what we're talking about here.
I mean, I like where they're going, and I like, I have no argument about making that part of the skill better. Like, I think that's a good thing, especially making it more conducive to AFK because it does occupy this middle ground of just not fun.
Yeah.
But it's got to be – I don't know. I guess you're right. The only way to know this is going to be to compare it, but I feel like it's too light.
Compared to the Hall of Memories, right?
Yeah, well, because here's my concern, okay? If we're going to draw everyone to... Okay, so if we're really going to hammer down the rifts and energy gathering as our core loop, then we're going to bring everyone there, and we still need to have meaningful choice between your GP... training and your XP training. And see, that's my only concern here, right? Because now you're going to be doing the
How
same
are you
thing.
Balancing
and
I, the stool is what you're getting at.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just going to add on a little bit to this right now. So if multiple players start siphoning the same spring, the time that spring lasts will be increased by 15 seconds per player up to a maximum of 75 extra seconds. So a spring at the top end will last 2 minutes and 15 seconds.
Man.
Right?
Well, PVMers are going to have their... the rich get richer. Woo! Don't they?
I don't know.
Well, yeah, man. Chargers are going to drop like rocks.
Yeah. We're getting there. We're getting there. Sign of the Porter 7. So, at 99 divination, you'll be able to craft Sign of the Porter 7, which will hold 50 charges and take 120 incandescent energy to craft. Meanwhile, Sign of the Porter 6 will be bumped down to level 94 divination and will require 80 luminous energy to craft. So, one energy level down from where it's at currently.
50 charges, that's nice.
Yeah. You're going to want to know how you make one, though.
Okay, how do you make one, Shane?
What do you put into a Sign of the Porter 6 currently?
A diamond necklace?
Okay, take that up one.
Oh, you're kidding me.
A dragonstone necklace?
Kidding me. And here's the thing. It all, like, when you put them in a Grace of the Elves, it doesn't matter anyway what you use. So,
you know why I'm laughing? I have 700 dragonstones in my bank.
Damn.
But I'm not sure how I feel about this. But wait, there's more. Transmutation is also getting some love.
Oh, I hope so, because that's been a redhead stepchild.
You can now make raw sharks with lustrous energy and monkfish, raw sea turtle with brilliant energy and sharks, raw cavefish with radiant energy and sea turtles, raw mantivrays with luminous energy and cavefish, and rocktails with incandescent energy and manta rays.
That was way more exciting before you told me what it was.
Yeah, and we don't have numbers on how much of each is going to be required here. But I think the current problem with transmutation is not that you can't make these higher level things. It's that it's just not good enough.
Well, they could just lower the price on...
You have to put too much energy into it to make that.
Well, and it's the only time I've ever... I mean, the only thing I've ever used it for was charms, right?
Right.
Yeah. If they lowered that and made it, like... Even a 3-to-1 would be better than what it is now. Like, it's bad. I mean, it is expensive, but...
Yeah. Ores have also been looked at with this. You can now make Luminite with Sparkling and Mithril ore, or Calcite with Vibrant and Rune ore, Dracolith with Vibrant and Rune ore, Necrite with Lustrous and Aura Calcite, Phasmatite with Lustrous and Dracolith, Bane ore with Radiant and Necrite or Phasmatite, and you can make the Animicas with Incandescent and Bane ore. It will take 2 Bane and 5 Incandescent to make 1 Animica.
Hmm. Interesting.
And I don't know. Like, you know, going back to when Divination came out, I never really saw the use for transmutation.
Well, so. No, I mean, one, there's a use problem, but two, I think there's always been a cost problem as well. It's always been pretty high to get just a little bit extra. You know what I mean? Just the 1 tier extra, it's not much.
Yeah, then that's what I'm not sure about.
Because it costs you more, and you have to work rather than just going and buying the higher tier.
Right. So we'll leave that one as a question mark until next week. And with the other changes to the divination skill that were made, the skill cape now boosts the minimum spring's duration by 30 seconds, 1 time per spring. This does not stack with ethereal connection. So if you're using your divination cape, that's 90 seconds for a spring. And 2 minutes, 45 seconds if you got a bunch of friends on that spring.
Yeah, that's good.
Memories retains all of the current effects, bar the duration increase, and the fading memory now instead provides a 20% crit chance. The elite and elder divination outfits, respectively, a 5 and 7% chance of granting 100% crit chance when gathering divination memories. Prism of Dousing grants a 5% crit chance when nearby. That thing was always kind of useless. Chronicle Absorption. Instead of absorbing the Chronicle Fragments, the prayer will now automatically pick up the Chronicle and provides an enriched Chronicle. So, I have a question with this one. Do you know what the question is going to be?
No.
What about Spirit Attraction Potion? Because that picks this up too. And this is just one less reason to use the Spirit Attraction Potion.
Of course, only you would think of the Spirit Attraction Potion.
Yeah, and I mean, it's absurdly priced on that right now. And I guess they actually thought of that because the next line right here says, as above. So, once again, why not just use Chronicle Absorption instead of Spirit Attraction Potion?
You probably should.
Because, you know, you're paying good money to use this potion each time you take a sip.
Mm-hmm.
You're paying 20K per dose. Per sip. For this. I don't know. And Abyssal Transit Chronicles can now be offered from the backpack, and Abyssal Transit now doubles the progress towards memory overflow when dropping off Chronicle Fragments.
Hmm. Okay.
What's that divination familiar called?
Muthpa?
Yeah, that's it. Thank you. I wonder if that has anything to do with this here.
Oh, no.
Because I wasn't mentioned in the notes here. Okay, they just hold they just hold energy and memories. So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Not too much to worry about on that. So that's where we're at with what this does. So how do you feel about this now that we've, you know, gone through the actual items associated with it here?
I mean, there are parts that I like more than I did coming in. I'm a little concerned about the influx of people driving price down. And the only thing that I can really hope for is that there's enough choice between gathering for money and gathering for XP, but I'm not sure we're there yet.
Right. Right. And
I don't feel like we are, really.
And, you know, Shogun was asked this question on the live stream, and they said, yeah, you know, this might make more charges come into game.
Yeah, it definitely will, so...
I'm wondering what the Skilling Council had to say about this.
Well, you know, I mean, basically the view is, I'm sure, whatever is good for the PVM is good for the game.
I don't know. I think the Skilling Council would have been involved in this, and maybe it would have been nice to have a note from them on that. Let's see, what else do we have? The Enrichment Aura now provides a 2-hour-long buff for Enriched Memories.
Okay.
And Osborne, Mod Osborne, ended off by saying that we are under no illusion that this is a massive rework. This is a start to see if it irons out the kinks of frustration, and hopefully it leads to a change with how people engage with the divination skill. So this is, you know, designed to be a small update. It's not being marketed as a huge rework to the skill. It's just, you know, little things around the edges to see if this helps. And then following on from that, there could be more in the future. But apparently, the lives of the dev team are currently largely focused around Elder God Wars Dungeon.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to help with this AFK ability. It's just we'll have to see what the effects of that is.
Right.
One thing that, see, I was thinking about this too. We're not going to know the effects of this for a long time because
it's coming in on double XP live.
Yes. Who does divination gathering on double XP? You don't.
Yeah.
So that's going to be interesting too. Well, if you train divination, you train it at the Hall of Memories, 2-ticking.
And there's a prime reason why you might do divination on double XP live. We are doing a skill of the month, starting on May 10th, running to the 24th. That is divination.
That's true. But unless you have a Metrodome and you're in the Hall of Memories, don't show up.
Oh.
That's not a challenge. I'm just saying. I know. There are crazy people out there.
I know. And, you know, following from this, if it's successful, this could become a blueprint to update skills 5 to 6 times a year. From a tactical perspective, that could be very healthy for the game. And we already talked about that there could be higher end updates coming for Divination in the future to add more onto the top. And the question was asked about more money making methods with Divination, and the answer to this was that energy gathering will become easier, which in turn lowers the amount of money making methods out there because more people are going to be able to do it or are doing it. I think they're betting on trans.
Say that as a good thing?
Yes.
No.
They said energy gathering will become easier to the answer to that question.
But why is skilling the only thing that you shouldn't make a damn dime in?
I think they're betting on transmutation as being something people will want to do for money.
For what? Why? There's no reason for it.
Right, looking at this, we have plenty of sharks. No one uses sea turtles or manta rays to eat. Cave fish are used.
No.
Rocktails are already abundant. And when it comes to ore, the mining and smithing rework has, you know, effectively filled out the need for all these ores in game already. So I don't think betting on transmutation for money making is a good idea. And there's, hear me out on this, but I don't think there's going to be any reason to buy sign of, or make sign of the Porter 7, because you're just going to pop these things into your Luck of the Dwarves and just go with sign of the Porter 6, unless you don't have Luck of the Dwarves, which, you know, is probably a fairly significant chunk of the population. But at the same time, you still need 99 divination to make sign of the Porter 7.
Yeah. And it's your grace of the elves, but...
Oh, right. Not Luck of the Dwarves.
But, I mean, I don't like that. And it almost, I mean, the conspiratorial side of me says, like, yeah, probably a section of players are going to be really happy about this because they've been complaining for a long time.
Yeah.
Kind of funny how that works out. But.
And plus, you know, it sounds like it was data driven. But at the same time, I feel like the economics are potentially out of whack on this update. We'll have to wait and see, though. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, I mean, it's entirely possible that... Here's the other thing. It's entirely possible that these changes won't make much of a difference when it comes to XP. So still nobody is going to come and do that for XP. Yeah, it's more AFK, but it's still not, I mean, it's still pretty boring. So maybe we won't see a big influx. I worry that the influx we'll see is going to be because they are limiting those wisps to only 5 squares. And when mobile releases, forget about it. It's game over, son.
What do you mean?
Charges will drop because if you're on mobile, you're not really caring necessarily that you're making the best XP per hour or the best money per hour. You just want to be able to reach over and tap your screen. You don't have to swing your camera around looking for the wisp. You don't have to adjust any of that stuff.
Right.
You literally just reach over and tap your screen.
Right.
Those charges are going to drop at that point. We won't know it for a good month and a half, maybe even two.
That's
but you
what
will
I was
see
thinking.
It drop.
Okay, two final points here. Standard divination will be more XP, but the meta shouldn't change from Hollow Memories with this, they say.
Okay.
And the goal with skills is that whether you enjoy money or optimal XP gain, a skill should be able to suit that kind of playstyle.
Well, yeah, I mean, I agree with that.
And this was an odd answer to this question. How does this encourage people to train past 80? If you want to train, if you want the higher capacity porter, you'll need to train past 80. Less of an annoyance in general.
they don't understand divination. I hate to say it, but that sounds like they don't understand. No, not that they don't understand divination. They totally understand divination. They don't understand how the players are interacting with divination. Yes, they're looking at the numbers. Oh, this bunch of people are either at 1 or 80. But why is that? Because there's nothing in between. And you get to 80, you can AFK for your main to make the things like charges or sell them.
Or just money, yeah.
Or just money. It's not about the porters and all the other. It's not about what you can make. Like,
and
it's about how it interacts with invention. It's how it interacts with combat.
Right, and keep in mind, we haven't got our hands on this yet, so it's hard to say. But I feel like one thing that really could have been done with this was provide incentive for people to go back to different sites. And obviously, I mean, now there's a reason to go back and gather luminous energy to make, Sign of the Porter 6.
Yeah, I mean, essentially they lowered the price per charge for Sign of the Porter, because you could do sixes with luminous now. So. Yeah. Cool, all you're going to do is you're going to see a cluster formed around that level now.
Yeah, Sophonum.
Yeah, so now you'll see clusters in Sophonum. You still didn't address anything to do with, like, all those sites are just there. You just cruise through them and on to the
transmutation.
Next.
But once again, I don't feel that that's going to be used that much.
No.
Whereas if you look at archaeology, you're consistently going back to Caradet, to Everlight, and so on.
And why are you going to do two actions for a resource that you could get in one action? Or just buying it? But you know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to get you could just go mine Bainite. I mean, the only people I could ever see this benefiting, maybe, but I don't even know if they do that. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. I don't know.
Well, I mean, Bane is behind a fairly significant quest.
Yeah. I mean, but how much Bane do you need?
Right.
How much Bane do you
need
when you're...
And there's other Bane spots you could go to. So,
right.
And, you know, to be fair, like I said, we haven't got our hands on it. It does sound like it's going to, change the core loop and make it more AFKable, which, if that's their goal, fine. But like I said, I think the economics are out of whack on this, and it feels like it didn't get the appropriate pass from the Skilling Council.
Yeah, I agree with you entirely. The economics are upside down. I don't think the transmutation and the porters is something to bank or write home about. And if they genuinely believe that those are going to be beneficial, like I get that, but that's not, I could see how you might get that out of data and looking at the numbers, but it really doesn't feel like that's how it is on the ground with people that are playing.
I agree. And, you know, I've got testing to do this weekend in terms of benchmarking Hall of Memories and Hall of Memories 2 tick and what we got currently. Yeah, good luck me on figuring that out. But
fun.
Nonetheless, I want to benchmark all that and see where we're at with this. So we will have more comments on this in terms of the XP and the economic ramifications next week. So, but... Oh, there's more. There's more.
There's more.
Double XP is coming back on Monday. For 20 days this time.
And don't call me a weekend, because we're starting on Monday.
Yep. You still got your 48 hours to go through it.
It's your 48 hours. Are you excited?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
No.
but I mean,
it's important. It's very important for people, I will say that, who are leveling up.
Mm-hmm.
But it just doesn't have that huge oomph behind it that it used to. And does moving it from 10 to 20 days really have an impact?
I mean, I guess it just makes it more available, but I just don't
like,
get
if somebody
that.
Was locked out, this really doesn't affect you that much, does it? Or
no, and I really don't get that. I mean, what this is telling me is maybe in the numbers they're seeing that a lot of people aren't getting through their double XP.
Through the 48 hours? And,
yeah, I mean, all I can say to those people is get good. how are you going to treat your gains like that? No, I'm kidding. But because I am guilty. I haven't made it through. I didn't make it through all mine last time. But, I mean, maybe that's it. Otherwise, I don't see the big deal. I thought 10 days was more than generous.
They did put out a really flashy video for it. And this is, quite honestly, a mobile advertisement. I'm actually going to play it because I just want everybody to hear the tone that is set with this now. And this is the tone of Double XP Weekend. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Double XP Live. Fastest way to reach your XP goals. Get ready to skill play. Available for all 28 skills. Double XP Live.
There you have it.
Cool.
You know, that's...
Hey, I'm actually going to be doing it this time, so...
That's an ad that, would air right on an app store. Or YouTube or Twitter or something like that. So, mm-hmm. Fits right in. But... Alrighty. We do have a listener question. We'll get to that. But first, I'll thank our Patreon supporters for this week. I'd like to thank Andrew C., Brock H., Cameron, CGB900, Christian S., Chunk the Monk, Cook Me Plocks, Danny C., Diana, Dura Max, Gabrielle, Jade Gizmo, Jason S., Keski, Kyle, Lucky Ducky, Nora, Pernasius, Rastafa, Ricky A., Scott DS., Soup Finder, Stabiv, The Bears OP, The Naked Captain, The Lion, Tom V., and Zant. Thank you all of you for your support. It truly means the world to us in allowing us to do many fun things. So, I look back and I said we got stuff coming for mobile. We actually have a monthly bit already in planning around mobile, but you guys actually did vote for the May monthly bit, which I was very pleased with the uptake on this poll. And we put three choices up: the rise and fall of the Java client, revitalizing PvP, or flopped game updates, Menaphos edition. And of course, the one that won was flopped game updates, Menaphos edition.
Dun, 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 dun.
So I think what we're going to do with that is we're going to go back. We're going to look at a bit of how Menaphos was marketed, what led the players to have the reaction that they did, and just see where Menaphos is at today. Because, of course, that was mid-level content that was marketed heavily. And everybody thought that it was a failure at the time. And it actually forced Jagex to abandon the expansions model. So we're going to have a discussion on all of that. And you remember that. That was quite the summer, wasn't it?
But perhaps it was the right update, but the wrong time. All that and more.
Uh-huh.
The monthly bit.
Uh-huh. And, of course, there's, more available. You get access to the entire back catalog of monthly bits for as little as $1 a month. In addition to, of course, helping... fund the cost for hosting and production of the podcast. For $3 a month, you get access to a special Discord rank and high-quality stereo versions of the show. And for $5 a month, you get a shout-out each and every week and gain exclusive access to the outtakes we use for the clip show at the end of the year. You can find out more about this at patreon.com/rsbnb. And of course, we're working to that huge ultimate goal of the Hot Ones Challenge. Should we ever reach $500 a month, Tanis, myself, Parnassius will subject ourselves to some very, very spicy chicken wings.
I will cry.
I think I'll be able to handle it.
I may need an EpiPen.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
I'll definitely cry.
All right. Well, you heard it here first, folks. If you want to see that, visit patreon.com/rsbnb and subscribe. All right. So our question this week is from Whitey Gaming. And they want to know, do you think that if quests had waypoints or markers similar to other games, that they would be more popular? He thinks that the heavy dialogue needed for progression in quests is one of the major gripes with the game. And I'd like to turn this over to you from the accessibility angle, because this is something I think that you are uniquely qualified to talk about.
Yeah, I agree. I agree to a point. Because questing works so differently in RuneScape, I definitely think that waypoints would be really helpful. The dialogue is going to be the dialogue. It's going to be the dialogue as long as you have to read it.
Yeah.
Or there's no, you know, native screen reader or anything like
voice
that.
Voiceover or anything like that.
And I'm seeing it in game after game now. It's becoming standard. It's standard on the Xbox now. So it's not an impossibility, but the waypoints would be helpful. The thing that I hate in a quest, probably more, even more than dialogue, is trying to find things. And I know that, like, that's supposed to be part of the quest in some circumstances, but I hate just playing Where's Waldo, trying to look around, searching for stuff. And so even like the trails, like we had in the archaeology tutorial, the trails that we use to try to find each other, I think those would be pretty helpful in a quest. And if nothing else, that's an accessibility feature. Because there's a lot of different kinds of ways to do a quest and a lot of different ways people like to enjoy it, right? You might be a hardcore, I don't want any help, I want no instructions, yeah. I want nothing.
Yeah.
Or you could be like me and like genuinely need help to get through the quest because you want to engage in the lore, you want to engage in the story, but there's a really big barrier there. So I'm on board.
Okay.
I think the
issue currently with this is that it's not consistent. Some quests have markers on the minimap drawn out in terms of rectangles of where you need to go. Some quests don't. And when you're inside of a room, you can, of course, move your mouse over and your mouse will light up and hover and show you exactly what you're mousing over, and that's good. But if you're standing in the same room as somebody you need to talk to, I don't see what the issue is of putting, you know, a little glowing waypoint underneath that person in a quest. I don't see what the issue with that is. And even in terms of getting to places, you know, sure, we all know where Caradet is going back to Azanadra's quest, but maybe once inside Caradet, we don't particularly know where to go. And maybe there could be a blinker on the minimap with a waypoint underneath Azanadra when you get closer to him. There could be something like that. And I think the issue is that it wasn't consistent enough in the past, and things like that have been sampled, especially when it comes to drawing on the map. It's just there needs to be a certain level of consistency behind it. And, you know, I think where I would draw the line is, you know, hand-holding with puzzles and the like. And, you know, maybe this is part of, like, some of the design that we saw in the Heartstealer quest, where if you don't get the puzzle or the mechanic after, you know, two or three tries, it makes it easier for you. That's a very good element of progressive design that was brought in, and something they could definitely even do for boss fights, you know? So,
yeah, no, that's...
I think there's definitely discussions to be had on that. And if you're going to be on mobile, I think one of the hallmark of mobile games is that you have ribbons and waypoints and pointing people around.
You know, I was just thinking, though, in a lot of other, like in other games, there will be some kind of a marker. I mean, if nothing else, it'll be on your compass so that when you're turned the right direction, you know which direction you're supposed to be going in. You know, like, ESO is like that. So, like, you at least know... go north, you know?
Right.
Like, I wouldn't see why we couldn't have that. I mean, I think that makes sense too.
Yeah. And I think it's something that needs to be looked at, you know, kind of like we had the Renaissance of skilling with archaeology and everything that it brought in terms of highlighting the world and making the world easier to interact with. Just those little things on top that made it feel so have such a high fit and finish to it. I think you could definitely bring those in with quests too.
Definitely.
So, and it's just a matter of making sure all the quests are consistent in that regard. But all right, thank you, Whitey, for that question. If you guys want to send your own questions in, you can email questions@rsbnb.com or leave us a DM on Twitter @rsbnb or just post at update.rsbnb.com/ask. All right, time for pick of the week. So this is a pick of the week that I feel needs to be done, because for those who have known me for a long time, you'll know that one of the things that I value and I don't like is groupthink. And there's no other place that you see groupthink more in 2021 than in the media. And there's a good website that I've become familiar with recently that is, you know, it's seeming to be the harbor for journalists who want to talk, but their platform or their newspaper might not want to publish what they're talking about. Or you're an up-and-coming journalist and you want to publish somewhere, but you haven't been picked up by anyone. I've seen these people here too, and the website I'm talking about is Substack. They have categories for everything from politics to technology to business to finance and even food and drink. And one of the biggest people on Substack is Glenn Greenwald, who everybody will know. Back in 2013, broke the story about Edward Snowden and the NSA spying on everyone. And since then, Glenn Greenwald has moved along through various other journalistic outfits to a point where he was pushed out of one that he founded, and then that ultimately moved him to Substack. And he's written some very interesting things over the last 6 months or so on Substack. But where Substack becomes really interesting is that it kind of is also like Patreon in a way, where people can effectively pay as they go per article or pay as they go for a subscription. Some people write for free, some people have a subscription associated with them, and it's effectively Substack is the writer's version of Patreon, where if you're a writer, this is probably a platform that you want to be on. And aside from the people who do charge on there's a good amount who actually just write free of charge as well, that you can cruise through as well. So I would recommend at this point in time, just have a look at Substack. I enjoyed reading the Glenn Greenwald pieces. There's a number of also good publications under the technology section as well. So Substack.com is the pick of the week from me, which I think is needed more and more as we look at where we're at today in terms of what the mainstream media and papers are doing.
Very cool. And I love the democratization that you see with sites like Patreon and what you're talking about here with Substack, being able to support the little guys that you enjoy.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing. In what world would you be able to write on the same platform as somebody like Glenn Greenwald, who, you know, wrote for very high-end newspapers before but moved on, and now you get to choose exactly who you're paying for?
Yeah.
If this thing takes off, this could, you know, be a fundamental shift. And we've been doing it, of course, with Patreon, but Substack is the sole writing version of it.
Yeah, hey, I mean, wouldn't this be cool if it brought back the old serial kind of novelizations?
Yeah.
Like, you could have, I mean,
something like that could totally thrive on Substack. You know, you get the first issue for free. Mm-hmm. Oh, and then you got to pay for the other ones after that.
Yep.
So, very good. Very good. What do you got for pick of the week?
Well, I've been reading, and I kind of went back to my my roots of historical fiction. A while back, I was watching Troy for the umpteenth time because, I mean, you can't get enough of Brad Pitt and Troy, right? Like, he's just a badass. And I was talking to a friend of mine, and he recommended this book series called Troy. And it starts with the first book being Lord of the Silver Bow. And what I really love about these books is it retells the story of the Trojan War, but it takes away the, you know, Homeric kind of fantasy almost, the mythology, right, around these characters. And it gives them living, breathing, human motivations, right? Like, the world didn't go to war because Helen was hot, okay? That's not how those things work out. It's much more likely that, you know, Agamemnon had his sights set on Troy for conquest, you know, those kinds of things. And it really gets into detail. And all the palace intrigue, and there's a lot of war. It tells the story of like a time period that you don't think about a whole lot, you know, during the late Bronze Age like that. You don't think about the galleys couldn't be far out to sea. They all beached every night, right? They would go and they would pull it up on the beach, and they beached every night. And then the next day they'd go out, and you don't think about pirates back in the Bronze Ages, right? But they were a thing. And so there's all this stuff. Oh, and it's got, I'm sure you've heard of the island of Santorini in Thera. It makes an appearance here before the big boom. So that's kind of, you know, it's kind of neat how the author weaves in all these things that we know now. And really just kind of takes, like I said, it takes kind of the mythology away from the characters like Odysseus and Agamemnon,
right,
and Priam and Hector, and it turns them into people. And some of them may be great and some of them may not have been, but people at the end of the day. And it makes for a really good story. It's a completely different way of looking at the whole, you know, history of Troy.
And it's a bit of an old book, too. I mean, it's a decade and a half old at this point. But, I mean, still, that's pretty young for a book. And, you know, we don't talk about this too much, but this is definitely something that people do have as an interest. So it sounds good. It's personally not my history of interest, but nonetheless, sounds like a fun read. And you're enjoying it, of course, in audiobook format, as you do.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you can get it on Audible. They have the three-part series. Like I said, it's Lord of the Silver Bow, and then, oh gosh, the second one is Shield of Something. And the last book is King of Kings. Shield of... What's the third one, Shane?
Shield of Thunder.
that's it, Shield of Thunder. Sorry, that was a Rick Perry moment. Has it been too many years? Do people not know? Remember him? Okay,
I remember him.
But yeah, that's my pick of the week. It's the Troy series.
Wonderful, wonderful. And, you know, I think you've got the tone set in terms of double XP right around the horizon with the divination update coming on Tuesday, because the bank holiday in the UK on Monday. We are doing a divination skill of the month. It's starting on May 10th, running until the 24th. We decided to run it not starting on Monday because, you know, the update won't be out on Monday. And we want to run it for 2 weeks in total on that. And, you know, it's going to be part of double XP. You can use double XP or you can't. It's your choice. And I do have to say that the winner from this one will be picking up a Grace of the Elves. Or no, it's a Luck of the Dwarves, I think. We'll have to ask Parnassius on that. He's putting up the prize. It's either a Luck of the Dwarves or a Grace of the Elves. It's one of those two. But both of them are, of course, very useful. So,
well, yeah.
Sign up, do some divination training, and you know, we don't like to offer cash rewards, but I think skilling rewards like that are fine. Bears OP won a bond for the fishing contest, so
he deserved it. Yeah, deserved every bit of that.
And you know, there's going to be lots of achievements next week, and it appears as though people are getting the jump on that because we've got quite the list so far from the last week here. So starting off. God Shaman got 99 defense on April 28th. Continuing the 28th, now we have Surge Aurora with 99 farming. Ultra Dog 177 with 99 attack. CQ Sethron with 120 invention on the 27th. Rex Compidium with 99 summoning. Tathing Spy with 99 cooking. Up the Iron 05 with 99 cooking also on the 27th. Then on the 25th, we have Delandra EST with 99 archaeology. Dennis with 120 strength, Rex Compidium with 99 ranged, Ultra Dog 177 with 99 constitution, Vivian with 99 magic. Then on the 24th, we have Derp with 120 attack, Max Quest Points with 99 magic, Popo with 200 million magic XP, Robbie with 120 strength and 120 attack on the 24th, and then Vivian with 99 ranged closing out the 24th.
Wow, nice achievements there. But continuing on, we have Max Quest Points with 99 ranged on the April 23rd. We have Natharios with 99 strength and magic on the 23rd. We have Zodia Child with 120 farming on the 23rd. We have Max Quest Points with 99 constitution on the 22nd. Ocean with 99 divination on April 22nd. Rex Compitium with 99 prayer on the 22nd. Cyro Aces with 120 defense on the 22nd. Tim 2 with 120 thieving on the 22nd. And Up the Irons 05 with 99 ranged on the 22nd. And then Zabros with 99 prayer on the 22nd.
Well done.
So everyone. Nicely done, everyone.
Well done. All right. As I mentioned earlier in the show at the start, we do have the Help Wanted page. So if you want to help us out, guest on the show, write informer articles, visit update.rsbnb.com/help and fill that out. We greatly appreciate any contributions you might have. Looking forward to getting some of these people on. And talking about this, GemND52, who you guys probably know from Skill of the Month, has elected to become an Informer writer, and that first article is currently up at informer.rsbnb.com, so you can give that a read as well. It's a retrospect of archaeology 1 year later, so that should be a fun one to read.
Cool.
But what have we been doing? Hey, what have we been doing?
I've been rocking it old school, man. No, not playing old school.
Okay.
I have been fishing because I am so close. I can taste it. I'm about a mil away from my 120. And that's a big one. So, after this, I will have more skills with 120s than don't. So that's kind of crazy, isn't it?
Really is.
Yeah. So, well, I've been doing that, and I've been listening to the Troy series, so it reminded me of back in my college days. I spent so much time in the fishing guild and fishing, you know, just going through the different places. I think, you start off at Catherby and you get to the fishing guild, and then you finally get up there to the hunter, colony area, fishing colony up there, do monks for the rest of your life until you can do Rockdale.
Yeah.
But that was at a time when I was, had to do a lot of research. And so it was just reading after reading and reading and reading for hours and hours and hours. But I had to have something to, keep busy to stay awake. And so I would fish, and, kind of what I've been doing this week is just reading my books and fishing.
Nice. Well, it was combat week last week, and we did have a round table last week as well. And I surprised you guys, didn't I?
You did.
So the round table our monthly discussion and gathering with Patreon supporters. Anybody can enter it. You just pop into the Discord, chat with us, and we talk about whatever comes up or whatever the topic of the day is. And it was combat week, and I surprised everybody. I said, "Oh, hey, everybody's here. Guess what we're doing today? We're going to go kill Araxor." And the funny part about this is that this was my first time. I had never killed the spider before. And, I took some advice from David in terms of the equipment and the perks to bring. But aside from actual tactics, I just read up the wiki a few times, looked at some animated GIFs of the special attacks, and away we went and killed the spider first go.
That was the shocking part. You actually killed it, and not only killed it, he didn't even struggle, guys. He didn't even struggle. Yeah. In fact, he did it so well, it gave me false hope that I might be able to do it. Notice I said false hope.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
But, man.
Deaths were free.
I couldn't believe it, Shane.
I know. I kind of couldn't believe it either. But I actually took it one step further than that, and I did a bunch of Reaper tasks after that.
Down at the spider?
No, not at the spider. No. I had a Grigorovic and a couple of God Wars 1 Reaper tasks that I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you been back to the spider since?
Yeah, I did. I actually went back and I killed it. I killed it three more times.
Wow. Watch, you're gonna put a leg together.
No, I'm not.
No?
It just doesn't move me.
Killing, it doesn't move you.
Yeah, okay. Killing PVM like that doesn't move me. I think, if anything, I would be more of the God Wars 2 kind of pace, Matriarchs kind of pace. Matriarchs are kind of slow, though, but probably more of the God Wars 2 pace in terms of what I've seen from Vindicta and Grigorovic and the Twin Furies so far. I haven't done Hellwear yet, but
yeah,
I've done three of the four.
But then again, some people say Greg's easy, and I think Greg's hard, but Hellwear's...
Well, apparently my problem with Greg was that I was using my scythe, which keeps me out of melee distance, and it's easier if you're in melee distance.
Huh. Didn't know that.
Yeah. So. And, I think it's definitely something that I'm not going to, shy away from, but I don't expect me to, become a... Talos Streak Hunter or something to that effect, or running through and spending time at Raksha. My number one issue that I've discovered throughout all of this with PVM is that I can understand mechanics fine, and I can understand the way armor and perks work and everything to that effect. I'm still a little bit wishy-washy on the action bars and the DPM of a certain action bar associated with it. But the part that really bothers me the most is the prayer switching when it comes to these bosses. Mm-hmm. And I personally feel that that's going backwards to the non-EOC era of needing to prayer switch. Granted, yeah, you can put it on your mouse and whatnot, but if you're prayer switching for one attack and then back to soul split and vice versa, I don't know. That just feels more of an exercise of knowing when to press a certain button on your mouse than the actual skill associated with that boss. And that's my number one issue that I'm currently feeling with PVM, is that I just don't like prayer switching, and I don't like it being a test of reaction time, server lag, server response time, and whatnot.
Yeah.
So I will pretty much be out of any boss that requires prayer switching, I think. Which I know that disqualifies a huge number of them. But I don't think prayer switching is a good mechanic to rely on. And I don't think armor switching as well is a good mechanic to rely on. In fact, if I was designing combat in RS, I'd put penalties in place for switching armor mid-fight. So, yeah. But that's just my take on it. And, you know, in some ways, perhaps it's good that I do some of these so that I learn that and I have those opinions. Because prior to this Araxor kill, the limit of my PVMing was God Wars 2 Vindicta and the Queen Black Dragon. And I think if I was to take this up one level further, the next things we'd start looking at would be things like Raksha, more elite dungeons, and maybe Rise of the Six? I don't know. I think that's the next logical place following.
Probably Telos, Shane. If you could do Araxor, you could probably do Telos.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Especially low in rage. I mean, I'm not saying you're going to be a warden or anything, but...
So are you saying that the next...
I think it's...
So are you saying the next round table is going to be a Telos skill? Or the next round table in a combat week is going to be a Telos skill?
It could be, because I don't think it's any harder mechanically than the spider is.
All right.
Ask David, see what he thinks, but I think you could do it. From what I've seen, you could do it.
And if you want to see this, that's another reason to become a Patreon member, because Patreon members do get access to the readback of the audio of that roundtable, but there's also a video version as well posted that you can see if you're a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/rsbnb. There's lots of fun little benefits here and there. But I think that's it for this episode, unless you have anything else.
Nope, that's all we got for the people, Shane.
Alrighty, well, with that being said, we'll be back next week to discuss divination and what that might bring. So in the meantime, if you want to subscribe to the podcast, you can get us on any major podcast listener out there, Google, Apple, Spotify, Pocket Cast, Stitcher, and even YouTube at youtube.com/rsbnb. We appreciate your subscription and likes, especially on the YouTube platform, as that helps us with discoverability. So with that being said, we'll be back next week for another episode of RSBnb Update. Thanks so much, everyone. Take care.
See ya.